All right, cold open. Let's get into it. This is so good to be back. This is the maiden voyage on Goldmine Studios in Burbank with my man Will Santo. And this feels great, man. This feels smooth. This feels like we're back in the saddle. So in the time since last recording, I had completed the 6-week test of experimenting with creatine. And I did not know how effective it was. And I also didn't realize, I couldn't have forecasted the effect that it would have on my physique. And so across the board, it was 1.5 pounds a week. And, you know, towards the end of it, I said, all right, I'm at my wit's end. I'm gaining all this weight. I'm not trying to gain weight like this. I'm only trying to gain muscle. But it's one of those situations where it's the you have to take the good with the bad. So if you're not familiar with creatine, and this is the first time I've ever taken it, it is it helps retain water, and so you expand, you get a lot of volume in your physique in every area. So just looking at my in-body composition, it was 1 pound of muscle every single week. And so I'm weighing in right now, to be really strict, 257 at the completion of the 6-week test. And so it was a net gain of 12 pounds. And I don't know if what your goals are or what you're aiming for, but if you don't know that effect, that's huge. I think this is definitely the most gains I've had since I was in high school, lifting weights and then it sticking. So if you are a hard gainer, get on that creatine life and see how you feel. I know for me, I gain weight really easily, so I'm not going to mess with creatine again until I cut weight. And that's good to know. So now I have that firsthand experience of this. If I could go back, I would go to 235 to be the maintenance weight, and then I would cut weight hard. Like, I'd go back to the whole 1-year plan of slow and steady wins the race after a year of doing more cardio and then high circuit training, coming in around, I don't know, 195, between 195 and 205. When I hit that and do a recovery week, I would cycle the creatine for 6 weeks and then cut weight again and keep it going until it sticks in what that true holding in the muscles is for being able to maintain. I know that now. And so starting today will be a moment of losing weight, doing more cardio, holding it, and then, you know, weighing in and telling you all how it goes. If I was skinny, if I was a skinny person, if that was my genetic makeup, I would hop on creatine as fast as possible and just get used to that as a supplement, as much as taking in the proper amount of protein and getting those protein shakes in too, but then also doing the creatine. And it's great. You can get it anywhere. Anywhere protein is sold, go to a supplemental store, you'll get it. The whole thing is to take it 20 minutes before you work out and drink plenty of water. The one that I got had, it said it was mixed berry, but it tasted like chalk and was disgusting. I found that if you put it with some form of electrolytes, Powerade, Gatorade, the Pedialyte advanced formula for hydration, it was tolerable. And if you put like a dab of honey in there, it was almost gone. It was still chalky, but the results don't lie. So sometimes you gotta bite the bullet on that one. Yeah. So all the high school students, college students, athletes who are hard gainers, definitely hop on that creatine. I'd give it a 10 out of 10 for effectiveness. If gaining weight is easy for you, I would be very, really cautious about taking creatine. If you have to experiment and see it for yourself, do it. If not, learn from your boy Dave Woods and just proceed with caution. I don't know what it looks like for extreme athletes, whether you're a swimmer, whether you're a ball player, whether you do any serious sport, like you're actually on a team or you're getting paid to do the sport that's your career, on what that looks like, because your training regimen and your diet regimen is going to be significantly different than the average gym goer. So yeah, that's my two cents on it. I wish I had known about this sooner. You know, the hype is real. It works. It absolutely works. So yeah, come up with that program. Come up with what you want to do. Keep the goal in mind, and then have that mantra: easy come, easy go. Slow and steady wins the race. If you plateau, if you find yourself having plateaued on anything, creatine would be that healthy motivation to bust through and continue doing what you're doing. All right. So going into this, I think I had a blank slate of what it would look like, and not really anticipating any changes, any significant gains. And after the 6 weeks, it was clear that my body was changing. And being faithful to doing the in-body composition, you could see everything that was going on under the hood. And it was getting to the point where I'm like, I think the scale's broken. Oh, maybe it's because I've not been too strict with my diet. Oh, Lord Jesus, please don't let it be a thyroid issue. Is there something off? Like, what's going on? And that's the testament of how effective creatine is. It works. You expand, you bulk up, but then just be prepared. Pants won't fit. Shirts won't fit. Definitely in the arms was great, but then it was also a moment of just such a quick expansion that it was noticeable. People were like, hey, it looks like you've been lifting hard. I'm like, yeah, I was. But I think the time period point of it just being this explosive growth was what was unanticipated. If you're new to the gym and to lifting weights and to a fitness regimen, I wouldn't suggest taking creatine right away, or it might you might develop an unhealthy, unrealistic expectation of what can happen for working out. Those moments where people are like, oh man, I don't really want to lift weights because I'm going to get huge. Yeah, that's not really a thing. That's real. You know, people train their whole life to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, or you name any pro bodybuilder. Like, train their whole life to get to that physique. And whether there's steroids involved or not, not everyone can do that, right? And gotta reiterate once again, I don't support taking steroids. I've never taken steroids in my life, probably never will, but it's one of those things where in order to get to where you're going and put on 10, 20, 30, 40 pounds of muscle, creatine would definitely help you get there. And I don't think you really even need to do a side-to-side comparison with someone who takes creatine and someone who does not take creatine to see what the results are. Just in this recent experiment, I was shocked at how well it worked. So yeah, go out and do your research, try it out for 6 weeks and see what happens. It is now summertime, summer 2024, and it is the perfect time to have the goal in mind, the time period in mind, know what you're working with, and just stick to it, grind it out. So I'm coming in at 257 to be really strict and saying, where am I going? Right now, it's going to be that ideal original goal, 235. So to get down to 235, how does that look for, we'll say, those 12 weeks? I guess to be more accurate, it'd probably be 8 weeks until it's the officially the fall going into September. So realistically, seeing what just happened after experimenting with creatine would be saying in 6 weeks to lose between 2, 2.5, and 5 pounds. That might seem like a small goal, but it's to get the momentum going for something that you can rinse, wash, and repeat. So it wouldn't be a moment of overdoing it, losing weight real fast, and then pivoting to doing it again, pivoting to do it again, pivoting to do it again, and then burning out. It'd be more of a adjusting what the regimen looks like, making sure the sleep is right, making sure I'm eating right, making sure I'm lifting right. And in my world, the lifting part is the easiest part. It's the routine, the checking in, being mentally ready, mentally prepared, execute, doing it over again four to five times a week until it is that lifestyle. And that's what I have. I think that's my biggest strength right there, is being able to do that, whether I'm not well rested, or if I'm coming back from being burnt, whatever it may be, stress levels through the roof, the world's on fire, chaotic, I can still do all of that. To fine tune it would be to regulate the stress and the tension and the anxiety to a point of seeing what's manageable, and then having that be the secret sauce to healthy gains. In this past 8 weeks, I'd say there was way more tension just psychologically than any other time. It was feeling like it was from all areas. And the thing that I would be able to control is saying, all right, what is the external pressures? And then what's the internal pressures that are happening? The internal pressures for me were having such high standards for just performance, and then trying to squeeze it in despite things going on with the apartment, despite the traveling, despite the weddings, despite the bachelor parties, despite, you know, taking care of bills, doing everything with baby girl, the daily traffic and ordinariness pressure, that ordinary pressure, I should say. So now with that in mind, if I could go back, it'd be, you know, that simple prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Not just saying it to say it, but to realize what I can control and what I can't control. I can't control how someone reacts in a conversation, or bad drivers, right? So no need to get bent out of shape about that. LA, people are going to be bad drivers left and right, and have a very cutthroat mentality. It's me versus the world when we're driving, right? So if I am cognizant of that, it wouldn't be something that impacts my happiness and my peace. In the past 6 weeks, it was something that was getting to me. And, you know, that spills out in conversation. Even if you're talking to someone at, you know, Krispy Kreme, getting that coffee, right? That's the coffee spot of choice. Judge me. I just love it. I'll take that hot caramel latte any day. All right. So the reset at the gym. Get to the gym, pull up, close your eyes, 2 minutes to be prepared for the workload that happens there. That is a staple in terms of the routine. When I don't do that, I still might have a good workout, but I'd get distracted easily. Whether it's seeing the breaking news that's on every single screen at LA Fitness, or just getting distracted by conversations of other people as I'm lifting weights. This harkens back to an earlier episode talking about wearing headphones at the gym. I'm a huge advocate of not wearing headphones when lifting weights. It'd be headphones during cardio time, or headphones going into the gym, but not while you're actually using free weights or the machines. The whole reason being is, even if they're wireless, they still get in the way, right? So I know a ton of people have a different mentality on it. For me, it's more of the cathartic release that you have, and then also the effectiveness of the movements and not getting sidetracked by whatever it is that you're listening to. If you do opt for listening to music or, I don't know, a podcast, you, I would say, have it up already on that playlist and have everything silenced. Not even hearing text messages, not hearing phone calls, no notifications, because that subtle interruption is static. It's jarring to what your focus is for X amount of time that you're in the gym, 45 minutes, hour, hour and a half, whatever it may be. So to have your eye on the clock, do your sets, your sets, your reps, the exercises, that should already be something that you have known for the day of the week, right? Now, going from there, I'd be saying, what does sleep look like? What's the quality of rest? In the last 6 weeks, it was trash. It definitely was trash. It was all over the place. And then the quality of sleep while I was in bed was absolute garbage. I think that right there was, a violation of what my own rules were, and still having the mentality, go no matter what. And now it's saying, if I were to just take a breath and review the last 6 weeks, I know my sleep was a dumpster fire. All right, well, how do I feel after I take a nap? Oh, phenomenal. How come some of the naps recently have been better than the quality of sleep at night? Well, put that in check. All right, reading before going to bed is something that calms my mind now. And I'd recommend having that book on the nightstand and saying, no matter how you feel, just start reading. Just read one page and see how you feel. You know, that's the thing that breaks the inertia, is just opening the book. But then when you put yourself into that routine of going one page and getting brought into whatever character is speaking or whatever situation it is, if you're reading scripture, it would be putting yourself in the presence of God and hearing what he's saying when you're reading the Psalms, whether you're reading Proverbs, Gospels. Put yourself there. What is God saying to you here? Now, doing that removes the day's hustle and worry about tomorrow immediately. I'd call it an exercise in not just empathy, but what would you call that? Hearing from God, a theophany? It would be the symphony. It's not a word, but it'd be removing the daily stress and pressure, and then being able to be separated for that in a point of preparation for sleep. When I do that, quality sleep is fantastic, and I wake up refreshed. Just knowing myself, I can probably push myself pretty hard for 6 weeks, no matter what's going on externally. But then there's a point where, my lady would be like, hey, seems like you're a little bit stressed. Seems like you're on edge. Seems like you're walking on eggshells. That's a good indicator that I am doing all those things. And if I was being completely transparent, I'd be able to point to all these things. When I'm in the mix, I don't recognize it. And I'm just like, man, why are people being jerks? Why are people doing this? When it's really something that is spilling out sideways from the amount of tension that I'm under by pushing myself physically, using that much exertion to go forward. Now, that's the beauty of this conversation, is you can learn from my example on the things not to do and what to expect when you're on a 6 week regimen. Moving from there would be saying diet. To watch what you're eating doesn't have to be torture. Half of it is preparation. If you meal prep, that is what goes on in a perfect world. You make your food, you know all the ingredients, you know what the meals are. All you got to do is open the container, eat that portion for that meal, and you're straight. I am definitely a set it and forget it type of guy. So if I have what the meals are for a week, it's not a guessing game when I get hungry. To harp on that would be, I think that's worthy of revisiting almost weekly just to keep your eye on the prize. But to remove the guessing game is one of the best parts about meal prepping, and then saying, here are what parameters look like for 7 days. You can make it fun. You can do things that you like. You can tailor fit it to the demands of your life. And the shining example is my girl, Alexandria Vasquez, who was, you know, last episode, soon to be released, where she has it down to a science and carries her lunch pail with her wherever she goes, keeps it refrigerated, because she understands that everything goes haywire the second you start making exceptions for other food that's not on the list for that day, for that week. And she is, to the average person, would be an extreme example, but she's just making her first foray into bodybuilding. And so that level of meticulous detail and a keen eye for each micronutrient is what it takes to be a contender in the arena of being a bodybuilder. So just taking some of the things that she does and customizing it for my world works wonders. So it'll definitely work wonders for you. If you're just beginning, this would be pretty much overwhelming, but this is really a re-education of just eating. Sounds really simple, sounds even superfluous, but it's one of those things that leads to success. And me losing 100 pounds over 3.5, almost 4 years, that's where it started, of saying, what do I eat? What don't I eat? What's blacklisted? What do I stay away from? And some of those things would be saying, all right, to not go to the most extremes, what's permissible, what's not? Is pizza okay? Yeah, you can do in moderation pizza, but it probably would be that habit of pizza whenever you want. That's what led to being in the need to lose 100 pounds. So when that pizza box comes around, keep it 2 slices and don't even look at a third slice. If you've been on your P's and Q's, 1 slice and that's it. That's just have it as a moment to take in the delicious goodness that is what we call pizza. But in the perfect world, especially on 6 weeks, you'd have to say you know when you're having pizza and you know when you're not having pizza, and sticking to your guns. Having that outlook not only will keep you sane, but it'll be a situation where you'd recognize that a temporary pleasure of having pizza does not coincide with what your goals are for these 6 weeks. And when you do that, it not only creates the discipline of knowing what you're going to eat and why you're eating it, but having your eye set that this is not something that is permanent, a permanent abstinence from that specific food, but having those boundaries up and protecting them at all costs. Very, very much a Adam and Eve in the garden situation. You know, God saying, you can have anything you want, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat that. Don't eat it. Right? All right. If you were to say 6 weeks, don't eat pizza, that's you keeping yourself accountable just for 6 weeks, not 6 years. It's not 60 years. It's saying, for this temporary period of time, I'm not going to touch that food group. I was just speaking with Will right before we recorded this podcast. And one of those things was French fries. For me, that was at, it seemed like it was at every lunchtime dinner type of meal, right? You go to the drive-thru, whatever it may be. What's the side going to be? Yeah, so obviously French fries. To take that out and say, no, that's a blacklisted food group, did wonders. Oh, drinking soda, cut that out. It's a blacklisted food. Don't touch soda. You still have how many other drink options and food options, right? So replace it. Replace it with what? Zevias are great. They taste just like soda. There's no high fructose corn syrup, no ridiculous amount of sugar, and it's not empty calories. You got this thing that is water-based, that and it has the sparkles, you know, the sparkling water effect of it feeling carbonated, but it's not that same hit from soda, and it's flavored easier than just drinking water all the time. It keeps things interesting, and it's a psychological trick to have a substitute than actually drinking soda. All right, instead of the French fries, what's that side going to be? As much as you can, make it a salad. All right, so if you're eating a cheeseburger and you have a side salad, it evens itself out for what it could have been and what you used to do. It's not perfect, far from perfect, but you can still be living a somewhat modifiable lifestyle for those 6 weeks without finding yourself with zero happiness and just being cranky, right? Going from there, you can make a burger at home, right? You can get the meat, get the salt, get the olive oil, make it a smash if you want, right? And controlling those condiments is something that is so easy to do, but oftentimes neglected. Right, moving from there, it's just the things that you can control. We already went through being a regular at the gym, fixing your sleeping patterns, fixing what you eat. Well, now what? All right, how do you manage the stress of life? There's a ton of things to look at. Is it coming from the social group that you're in, like your network of friends? Is it coming from the job, the work situation, the lack of work situation? Is it coming from the amount of demands for running your household? Is it coming from family members? To target that and say, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to say, this is how I'm going to react, might be the question, the most existential question of the century, right? In my situation, it would say, how am I going to laugh more often? If I get lost in my own thoughts and in my head, if I'm just in my head, I immediately have a frown on my face, right? I immediately look unapproachable. And I realize that. And usually it's just a moment of catching my reflection. I'm like, oh, wow. Why do you look so hard in the face? Oh, it's because I was in my own head and being really pensive. Finding something that's life-giving, like those silly videos on Instagram where people are making jokes. Make that part of your day, but not making room for nonsense on social media is a tightrope walk. So what I do is I have the people that I follow who are consistently being funny in their shorts and their reels and their videos, and only looking at that stuff and not just doom scrolling. Just, oh, hey, I wonder what everyone else is up to. No. That's the MO for having the podcast name be You Versus You. It's you versus that old self of you, and not comparing yourself to others. That's a trap that I fall into constantly, right? So that's the boundaries that I have up. If I open up Instagram, I know what I'm looking at. I'm not just seeing what's on the feed. I think Instagram is on this next level algorithm of purposely putting things that'll capture your attention right away, right? And I can't get mad at them for doing it that way. You know, don't hate the play, hate the game, right? in that situation, it's saying, I'm gonna go to my direct messages and look at those videos that come from that dude that I follow, that lady that I follow that are hilarious. Big shout out to Big Merla. I don't know if you ever heard of her. She's this mother who plays her kid, her toddler's instruments, and then just has this Weird Al making new lyrics up to these pop tracks that we all know, right? We'll say top 40 from whenever. One of the first ones I saw was Missy Elliott, Get Your Freak On, but she changed the lyrics and she's playing the little kid instruments to it and is really talented, like really talented with it. It's not like a slapdash. I'm a freestyle with my toddler's toys. She clearly wrote these out, practiced it, and then straight killing it on the beat and goes across the genres. She's got the hip hop rap. She's got the rock alternative. She's got pop tracks, and this is clever. It's really clever. Always brings a smile to my face. So having that in mind would be an example of saying, I know I'll laugh if I see her jamming out like this. Another one would be, man, I forget what his name is, but it's the guy, you know, the technique. It's playing two different characters. One cut is him being the protagonist. The other cut is being the opposition, going back and forth in this one-upsmanship. I feel like his name is Andrew something or other, but this guy is like this next level Key and Peele, but for social media. Yo, I'd love to meet this guy and just chop it up with him for a little bit, because it's funny. The joint I was checking out earlier today was him going to Chipotle to order a burrito, and the manager was giving him a hard time. He's like, yo, can I get some more rice? He decided to punk him by asking just for the juice of whatever product. So, you know, going through the meat, he's like, now let me just get some of the chicken juice. Let me just get some of that bean juice. Let me just get some of the sauces, but just skim off the top, just get that water of it. And now you got to roll this burrito up, this mess, right? But I digress. The whole thing that I'm getting at is knowing specifically what I'm looking at on Instagram to laugh immediately changes the atmosphere in my mood. And if I'm able to do that, it doesn't matter what things come my way, what obstacles come my way. I can do it with a healthy attitude instead of it being this, it's me versus the world. Let me just use, let me use all the things that I want to do to steamroll what's in my way. Oh, that's a little road bump. Well, I'm going to smash it with a hammer, go through it. That's not good. It's not good for the long run. It's not good for making friends. It's not pleasant to be around. And also, it makes me really critical. So when I find myself being a cynic or being overly sarcastic in every conversation, you already know I'm stressed out. That's no way to live. I'm trying to make it to triple digits. It's really going to be God's will on that one. But I know if my mood is good and I'm smiling at people, not for any other reason, but to just be a blessing to others, it's going to have a domino effect in other areas of my life too. All right. So when all is said and done, it is not rocket science. Go to the gym regularly. Know what you're doing when you get there. What's the mindset, the heart set, the posture of being there, being present, doing it, not getting distracted. How do you sleep? Do you sleep well? What can I do to do that? How do I regulate my stress? Now, smile, laugh. Not like a weird car salesman, but what brought joy to you today? I know a couple people on Instagram who are hilarious. Just watch their content. All of a sudden, I'm in a good mood, right? All of this is more of a dissertation on self-awareness. And so tailor fit it to wherever you're at and go from there. Having the goal in mind is the thing that needs to be the constant. Speaking with Alexandria, I guess it's now, I would say recently, talking with Alexandria recently, was saying the whole point was reorienting all your habits in order to evolve and go higher and make that the new normal. Hearing her perspective on it was exactly the jump started I needed to stay on what I'm doing right now. Losing 100 pounds is a monumental task. There's no doubt about it, but it is doable. It is feasible for anyone in any circumstance, but it's needing to know why you're doing it, how you're going to do it, and then to grow in that through it all. This podcast is to be a platform for anyone who wants to lose a lot of weight. I mean, it doesn't have to be 100 pounds. It could be 20 pounds. It could be 10 pounds. But to go from a place to create that paradigm shift where you go, this is what I've known my whole life or have developed into. How do I change that? It creates this forum where you hear other people's stories and what they do and implementing it into your life. For the pitfalls of social media, it's immediately seeing these people who are doing it, and they make it seem like it's easy, and oh, here's how you do 100 pull-ups, here's different variations of pull-ups. For me, doing pull-ups wasn't necessarily too challenging, but all the variations were, I'm like, yo, I'd love to do that. That creates this this cascading effect of comparison, and I recommend avoiding that. But the keeping in mind the balance of, especially Instagram. Instagram seems like the most monumental of tasks done every single day in the fitness world. Like, that's the ordinariness that everyone should be at. It's another. It's an unrealistic place of what a standard looks like. This podcast is showing that it's a process to get to that point, and not every day is going to be looking like you're doing some extreme thing. This in-body composition that I've been promoting since day one is to keep everything in perspective, right? Over time, when you do a year-end review, you can see the graph either going up or going down, or just being this a consistent move forward. Seeing that is the most realistic depiction of what's actually going on inside. If you don't know where to start, I'd say start there. What do you want to go? What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? What's that time look like? Go for it. What's your community? Who do you talk to about this? Some people are not meant to be in that circle of talking about fitness. Everyone has an opinion, right? Not all of them are good. What was that expression? It was, oh yeah, opinions are like butts, right? Everyone's got one, but they usually stink, right? So taking something like that is the level of discernment and discretion for talking about stuff when it comes to what works and what's applicable to your life. I would highly suggest talking to in-shape people about getting in shape and staying in shape than, I don't know, your older brother or your next door neighbor or anyone who's just talking about it. If there's someone who's 335 pounds and they're telling me about fasting, I might entertain it, but I'm not going to actually pick their brain about it, because the proof is in the pudding. You're 300 and some pounds, right? If there's someone who is consistently fasting and they're in shape and they're doing it to reset their liver to reset their GI tract, and they have all the fruit of fasting, but they don't look gaunt, like they're wasting away into nothingness. That'd be the person to listen to. If someone is meal prepping and they have all these great alternative recipes for subbing out the things that would destroy your fitness regimen, I'd say your diet regimen, listen to them. If someone, I call them has-beens, right? If someone's talking about how they used to do stuff, but they're not there now, I'd be careful. Unless they wrote a book about it or have articles and extensive writing on it, of the evidence of that fruit, that's the thing to go with. What works, what has worked, what can you do now, what the current circumstances, stick with that. So, coming to a close on this episode, it would just be all in all saying, what can you do for the summer? What's your goal in mind? How are you going to adjust your lifestyle to make that goal a reality? Do that. In this moment, it's not going big or go home. It's what little thing can I do for 8 weeks this summer? So at the end of summer, it's come fall, September time. Someone asks, hey, what did you do this summer? You could say, oh, I decided I would lose 2 to 5 pounds. Here's the result. Did I get it? Did I not get it? Did I partially achieve that goal? And that becomes the metric for stacking a goal and then stacking another 365 days from now. You have that evidence of what you've done, what worked, what wasn't effective. And then you are a couple steps closer to what that thing you set out to do was. If you want to get from point A to point B, the best way is to come up with a path, map it out, and then do a little surveying of the land from anywhere in between that segment, right? I said that in a little bit of a convoluted way, but it would be mapping out where you're going and then seeing what works along the way, have a record of that, and then when you get to point B, reassess what you did. Would you do it again? How would you explain it to someone else? Boom, boom, boom. There you have it. We don't have to make a fitness lifestyle overly complicated. We don't have to compare ourselves to other people. There's many roads that lead up. Wow, tongue-tied right there. There's many roads that lead to Rome. What are you going to do? Stick to one path. Go on it. After you get there, plot out another one. After you get there, do it. That, in a nutshell, is what it took for me to cut 100 pounds. Now, this is a new mountain that I'm on for the summer. That's more of a little hill, a little hiking session right there. What's that going to look like? I'll tell you in 8 weeks. All right. Until we meet again, these are the keys that led to my fitness journey. I can only give you the keys. You got to open the door yourself and walk through it. It's your boy Dave Woods coming at you on UVU. Like this, share it, comment on it. And until then, get after it, keep growing. Peace and blessings.